that also means that perhaps you should be constantly examining your position, because maybe they are right and you're wrong. You have to always be try to be as objective as possible and look at all the facts and evidence and so forth. But anyway, but if you have to act on what you believe. You cannot go out and change the world, you know, because of what someone else believes, right? You have to, you know, if you want to be effective in what you do, and this is true in material life as well as spiritual life, do what you believe, do what you think is right, do what you think is best for you, and do that with all your heart and soul. And I remember years ago, Yogi Maharaj was quoting someone, and I don't know who it was, but the quote was something like this: what you believe today, you say that with all the force and conviction that you have. And if that completely changes tomorrow and you believe something different, then you do the same thing.
Whenever he says that, he says, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds.
Ah, you remember that. Wow. Emerson. Ah, foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of
little minds.
Yeah, that's what I was saying the other day. Change the world and be prepared to be changed yourself. Both things. Don't be tied to just one idea, because that's the idea you had in the past. We actually hate that. It's like Brahmavad, you know, the changeless area. You know, it's just, we want change. Go forward. If you're going forward, you can't help but see something go past, right? And the faster you go, the more things are going. Yeah. So, what you believe, you go for it. If you feel strongly, then you try to convince everyone else that thinks differently. Because this, you will never be happy if you don't do that. And you will never challenge yourself if you don't do that. And everyone, no matter how timid, how equipoised they appear to be, they are out to change you. They want their opinion to dominate over yours. And especially the Mayavadis. They maintain, oh, everything is Brahman, right? Oh, everything is very good. I'm okay, you're okay. I mean, why are they preaching their philosophy? Why are they, you know, why are they attacking us? And, you know, why don't they just, you know, hey, be quiet and go to the hills? No, they cannot avoid it. No one can avoid it. Whether they're passive, quiet, timid, whatever, they have some idea, and that idea will try to influence everyone else around them. Then why not acknowledge that? And if that idea is wrong, then we should attack it. Disintegrated. Totalitarian war. All right, we've taken a long time here. Jai Sparikar, Sri Sri Guru Garanga, Sri Sri Gandharvika, Giridhari Ju Ki Jai. Jai Sparikar, Sri Sri Guru Garanga, Sri Sri Radha Baran Mohan Ju Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Nityalila Krishna Om Paramahansa Parivajakacharya Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Nityalila Krishna Om Paramahansa Srila Bhagavan Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Nityalila Krishna Om Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Satchitananda Ananda Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Vaishnava Sarvabhauma Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. Shri Rupa Nuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Sad Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupad Ki Jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Yamuna Mai Ki Jai. Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Mayapur Navadeep Dham Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Jai Gaur Premanande Haribo, Gaur Haribo. Hare Krishna. Attack, attack, attack. Saraswati Thakur, they wanted to kill him because he was preaching so vigorously. Not a bad thing. This is not. We don't want. It's not our ideal to be liked by everyone. Not everyone is a rational person. Hare Krishna. Huh? What? At 5?
Yes.
If I'm awake.
Yeah, we want to listen.
Sure. See, the thing is, I was up all night last night, once again. I'm still on New Jersey time. And New Jersey time makes this about 11 or 12 o'clock at night for me. So, yeah. If you want to check on me like at 4:45 and 4:00, come by at 4:30 and see if I'm either awake or can be awakened.
Okay. And we can all sit here and engage with that. If you guys hear questions.
I wonder if Sudarshan might be wanting to get some rest also. You must be on Salt Lake time. Really? Wow. You're the man.
I gotta say this though. I have seen him fall asleep in these hot pots. He fell asleep, sitting in hot springs.
Oh.
So he can fall asleep anyway.
I thought he was falling asleep while he was driving one time.
No, the Lord made me.
He's so relaxed that it looked like he could fall asleep. Got the seat back, But sure, I'd be happy to do it if I can. Hope I'll be awake. Each day I'm like thinking, I can just stay awake till lunchtime. And it's just not working. The other day, I stayed awake almost the whole day. I said, okay, now I'll be able to sleep at night. I was up all night. Go back to sleep.
Yes, melatonin, really good.
How much do you have to take, like
no,
a gram of it or something?
No, just a little over here.
Well, I'd be happy to try it. You have some?
Yeah.
And do you think it helps you?
Yeah, it's good to take at the time when you're trying to reset your circadian rhythm. So,
I've heard that.
When you want to go to sleep, when it starts getting dark, your body is kind of programmed to do that anyway. You just give a little additional boost.
So you'll be up all day today?
I'm going to try.
My problem is that now I want to sleep. You know, and, I'm sorry, what? Hello, anyone out there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Can you discuss tolerance in the context, like humility, tolerance, giving honor to others?
I can.
Is tolerance a matter of willpower, or how?
Where does it come from? I'm sure there are many, many answers to this question. The first one that comes off the top of my head is one way we might, let's see. Srila Sridharmaya says, supposing we did such and such. Supposing we were in a very stressful situation and we behaved badly. We should have been tolerant. We recognize afterwards that we should have been tolerant, but we were not. Then we tried to remember that the next time. Govinda Maharaj said, I don't care to hear the sound someone is making and when they're talking in an undisturbed fashion. But I want to hear the sound they make when I punch them in the stomach. Then you'll find out he is tolerant, or he is humble, or he is making a show of the whole thing. All right? So recently we were talking about distribution of Krishna consciousness and thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. So when you propose a thesis, when you push a thesis into the environment, then if it's anything substantial and if it's anything out of the ordinary for the environment, then usually there's some pushback against that. So when that, many people have grand ideas and like to push them into the environment. But sometimes the test of the person, maybe the test of the idea, but the test of the person is what happens when there's pushback. And we were watching with Gurudev a couple days ago on the television. There was some type of controversy. There was the anchorette, the attractive news lady, and then sitting next to her was a police chief, someone in charge of the police. And the reason he was there is from some recent disturbance. You want to know which recent disturbance, because there are so many, right? anyway, some recent disturbance, and the police were, with their batons and cracking heads or shoulders or something. And one of the shoulders they cracked was a cameraman or a TV reporter. And so the news lady was talking like in a very excited, obviously attached way, not a detached way, a way that showed that she was very much on the side of the seemingly abused reporter, right? Now, in all other situations, generally news people are very expert at being detached, whether, it's their anything, Oh, yeah, such and such, such, very detached. But in this situation, she was, you could tell, she was really disturbed seeing that one of her peers, one of her counterparts, had been, as she felt, abused by the police. As they were pushing the reporters, stopping, covering the camera with their hand, things like that, pushing them away. One even got hit. I think it was accidentally, but anyway, one of them got hit with a stick, I think. And so she was going, rah, 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 rah. And then the policeman, the chief of police or whatever, some qualified person, he was sitting very calmly and just calmly responding to her questions with extreme calmness. I was very surprised by it. And he would answer her question, reply. It's in Bengali, so I don't know exactly what they're saying. Shuddha Shava was giving me the summary. But each time he's going, yeah, 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 yeah. And then, so everything is not as it seems. Some very calm response to that. I told Shuddha Shava, I said, they picked the police department picked a good person to be their representative. Because she looked out and her behavior looked inappropriate. And his behavior looked very appropriate. Like, he was dealing with the facts, with the situation, with the matter, with a cool head, and so on and so forth. So, tolerance, I think that's some of it, that's a part of it. Where it comes from is a very deep question, but it's hard. You can't really learn something very well if your knowledge is never challenged, right? That's why we have tests. When it's time for the test, then you find out that your knowledge is challenged. Do you know it? Do you remember the answer? Now the crunch time is there. How you'd respond in that situation. So with tolerance, with humility, with all of the qualities that we are trying to develop, the challenge is not when we're sitting in an easy chair and drinking cocoa. The challenge is when we're in a stressful situation. Where what we, huh?
When you actually have something to tolerate.
Yeah, when our deeply held beliefs are being abused, challenged, we're facing retort or whatever by another party. And then how we respond to that. We have to think a little bit. Not only what is the emotional response, I tend to respond very emotionally, so. I'm only telling you from like what I see others do, right? And looks good to me. how we respond to that may make some difference in how other people view our response. Like in this situation, I was very impressed how this policeman just over and over and over again was so calm and just very cool, very collected, very reasonable. Seemed, I don't know the language, but he seems so reasonable, you know. And the lady seems so unreasonable. So, tolerance. For most of us, our tendency is to avoid conflict. That's the tendency of most people. There's the warrior, you know, and so on. So there's some people a little different. But general tendency, I think, is to avoid conflict. Kind of, you know, stand back, withdraw from some potential conflict, hurt feelings, you know, flaring emotions or something like that. But one measure of the effectiveness and the strength of what you're pushing into the environment is what type of pushback you get also. And so if there is a strong comeback, maybe some indication that what you're saying has hit home. Now, that what idea you're presenting is having some substantial effect. And then to and then those that you're communicating with, you have to be tolerant and respectful of their opinions also. Because if you're not, then they will take, you know, oh, he's a fanatic, he's unreasonable, they will take us to be, you know, they will reject us simply because we appear unreasonable or something like that. So tolerance, I think, is best learned when there's conflict, when there's stress, and then we react many times badly, and then we reflect, oh, what should I have done? And then the next time that situation happens, try to remember, oh, what I did the last time, I want to do differently now. Behave in a tolerant fashion. But your question goes much deeper than that, I think. Where does tolerance come from? And everything comes from the same place. So Trinadapi Sunichina, Turodapi Sahishnana, when Mahaprabhu is telling us that you observe these behaviors. You behave in this fashion, with tolerance, with humility, giving respect to others, not looking for respect for oneself. And then you can chant the holy name properly. And Govinda Maharaj used to speak about this quite a bit. Tolerance, this is our religion. It's like, this is a very weighty principle of Krishna consciousness. And why? Mahaprabhu tells why. Then you can chant the holy name properly. Without these things, without developing these qualities, it's not possible to chant the name proper. So they're very weighty, and they're a whole... range of ways that these things show themselves: tolerance, humility, giving respect to others. And one thing that Gurudev points out is that respecting others means respecting even who is not deserving of respect. That's a very important principle. We'll naturally think that certain people are deserving of our respect, so we will respect them. A senior devotee, any devotee, you know, a gentleman, person of prominence or something like that. Naturally, we will tend to offer respect to such persons. But the person who is treating us in an ill fashion, someone who is showing what we generally think as the behavior of someone who is worthy of respect, kind of a simple idea, of this is someone is asking. Oh, I remember some years ago we were in Tijuana and with Govindamars, and they had arranged their ashramars, and the devotees arranged for a big theater type of program there in Tijuana, Mexico. And one man was, after Gurudev delivered his lecture, and one man, he asked for questions, and some man was asking him about some, like Satya Sai Baba or someone, what do you know about, such and such person? I don't remember who it was. And Srila Govinda Maharaj said, and I was thinking, oh, this man is a nonsense. I'm sure he was a nonsense. The man asking the question. This man is a nonsense. Why is he asking? The tone of his question was like, can you tell us something good about Satya Sai Baba? Right? Something like that. Do you know how great Satya Sai Baba is? Something, and expecting Govinda Maharaj to reply to that. Like, yes, he is so great that I heard that, And so what Srila Govinda Maharaj said was, personally, I have not met with the man, so I cannot say from personal experience anything about him. But I have heard some very bad reports from others. From others, they have come to me with some very bad reports. So he was showing that man respect. Someone, I would have reacted very differently probably, because in the tone of his question, there was just something irritating. I was irritated, I found it very irritating the way this man was asking this question. But Srila Govinda Maharaj, he said, very calmly, thoughtfully, I have not met with the man personally, so I cannot say, but I have heard some very bad reports. And if it is who I'm thinking about, if it is Satya Sai Baba, he's a big impersonalist. And there's nothing that, nothing that riles me like, coming face to face with an impersonalist. It's just something that I find very disturbing. But he was very calm. And the audience, every time I've seen this, I've seen things like this many times, and the audience just loves it. They love that Govinda Maharaj responds in that way. And one of the first and most memorable times I saw this was in Monterey. The first, the first time Govinda Maharaj went for a major tour of Mexico, Monterey, Mexico City, Veracruz, maybe Morelia also, but I'm not sure. But in those three cities, Monterey, Mexico City, and Veracruz, big public programs with 600 people or more each place. And so the first place we went was Monterey, the devotees there had done just an incredible, incredible job. They held the program was being held in the Monterey, what I don't remember the name of it, but it was essentially the Monterey Convention Center. And were you there? Any of you there? There was, we're talking, a giant building. A convention center, like any city, San Jose Convention Center or something like that, And we had a big room there that probably would easily hold 2,000 people, maybe 3,000 people. There was seating for probably 1,500 or so. People had to buy a ticket to come to the event, and the tickets were being sold through Ticketron. And Ashramars had they had made some publicity in some newspapers and so forth, and Asher Maharaj was going on radio stations and doing like some interviews and promoting this event, and giving away tickets, you know. It's like, you know, the first five people that call in, you know, we'll give you a free ticket to this event or something like that. And so people were calling in, and he was giving away tickets like that, and taking people's questions and so forth. And it really, it was really just, I will never forget this. It's such a first-class event, the way it was done. So wonderful. And so we, in the morning, like there were several sannyasis there, and we were asked to speak, and when we got there, you know, we didn't know what to expect. We started like maybe 10 o'clock, and this thing ran all day from 10 in the morning until about 11 o'clock at night, and with a break for lunch and a break for dinner. So, and you could buy tickets either for the whole thing or just the evening or just the morning, I think. So at any rate, we went there, and there were probably 100 people or maybe 150. And where there's seating for 1,500, that's a good number, but where there's seating for 1,500, it's not so much. You know, it's like the front rows were kind of, you know, pretty well populated. But then Sagar Maharaj was there, Ashram Maharaj, Janardan Maharaj, some other sannyasi, I'm forgetting, myself. And but as we went towards the afternoon, then the people started coming in and the seats were filling up. So when we were finished, there were probably 300 to 350 people or so there. And Ashram Maharaj had arranged for the simultaneous translation. People would come in, they have an earphone, headphone set so that they could choose to listen either in English or in Spanish. And Ashram Maharaj was doing the translation and simultaneous, you know. As we were speaking, he's translating into Spanish, people are hearing it, so if they don't know English, they can catch it that way. It's really wonderfully done. So we went back then in the evening, and we didn't know what to expect. All these people will go home and not come back. More people will come in the evening. They'll come back plus more or what? You know, we don't know. And so when we went there with Srila Govinda Maharaj, as we're pulling up to the convention center, we see like just lots of people milling about. And as we go inside, there's this big escalator. It's like, you know, goes up like 30 feet up into the air or something, where our event was being held on the second floor. And there were a whole lot of people on the escalator, and when we got up to the second floor, there was a line of people there buying tickets, showing tickets that they had their ticket, they could go in and like that. And when Govinda Maharaj went in, you know, there was it wasn't full, but there were probably close to 1,000 people there. Maybe even more, I don't know. Somewhere around 1,000 people. And they were just so excited that Govinda Maharaj was coming, and I don't remember, they stood up, I think they were applauded, I don't remember. Certainly when he was introduced, they did. And he gave a really wonderful talk. And it's in that Religion of the Heart. I mean, portion, it's not segmented by the places that he visited. But the material that Siddhanti Maharaj used for that Religion of the Heart was from this tour of Govinda Maharaj of Mexico and the United States, maybe Venezuela. And so Govinda Maharaj gave a really inspired, really wonderful talk, and you could hear a pin drop. You know, people were very attentive, you could tell they were really appreciating what he was saying, and it was really a beautiful event. And afterwards he took some questions, one lady asked, what is your opinion of the talks between who was it? The Pope and the Dalai Lama. Recently, they had met, and it was in the news. You know, it was supposed to be a big event that these two giant spiritual personalities were having some dialogue and so forth. What is your opinion of the, and again, in the way that she said it, her opinion was this was like the greatest event that had ever occurred on Earth. So would you please speak about the greatest event that has ever occurred where the Dalai Lama and the Pope met together and spoke to each other, right? Like, that's not the kind of thing you ask, you know, the speaker at your event. Please tell us how wonderful is someone else, right? And Govinda Maharaj, you know, was kind of wondering, what is she talking about? The Pope and the Dalai Lama meeting, talking, but he wasn't like really so sure about it at first. And then he understood what was the nature of her question and so on, and he said, something like, we are a spiritual, we are promoting a spiritual ideal, not a political ideal. Something like that. We are not politicians. Huh? Yes? We are, you know, following a spiritual path. And then the lady, you know, she was like, you could just, you know, it's like fire is coming out of her ears, you know, she's red and in total anxiety and disturbed. And, wow, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, saying something, you know. And then Govinda Maharaj, so again, as soon as someone else gets upset with me, I immediately get upset with them. But Govinda Maharaj did not get upset. He was very calm and explained. And you know, we were on the stage with him. We were like looking at each other like, how's he going to respond to this? What's he going to say? Because he's in Mexico. She's Mexican. The audience is all Mexican, right? And they're, you know, probably 90% Catholic. And what is Govinda Maharaj going to say, you know, to this group? And I can't remember now what he did say, but I remember the way he said it was, as I said, calm, factual, presenting, you know, oh, this is our position, that is another thing, and so on and so forth. And the lady was arguing, and he was arguing with her, but in such a nice way that it didn't seem, from his side, it didn't seem like an argument. From her side, she was arguing, but from his side, it didn't seem like an argument. So, after he finished, then there was this long silence. Everything is quiet. And again, like I'm thinking, holy mackerel, like what's going to be the audience response to what he said? And then this woman then starts to say something else again. And everyone is saying, sit down, be quiet, sit down, be quiet. They're all telling it, they're all 100% with Govinda Maharaj. And they're telling this lady, like essentially, you're a troublemaker, sit down and be quiet. So that made quite an impression on me. That the way we respond, it's not always that it should be our first thought. You know, our first thought should be, you know, responding with a proper philosophical position. What is, you know, what do we know about this subject and that we need to tell someone? But practically, I've seen that this is very effective. That generally speaking, tempers and hot emotion and so forth don't seem to look so well to the audience, to the onlooker. And although that may be our natural tendency, if we can remember tolerance, okay, this is a nonsense, but I'm going to tolerate that and favor presenting making a good appearance to others and to the person I'm speaking to as well. And if we fail to do that, then we'll remember, oh, the last time I made a massacre of this situation, I'll try to not do that again. Something like that. And it's just one, you know, it's a big, big subject. It's some idea. We have to think always, heart within and God overhead, and Gurudev overhead always, like the sun. Guru is always looking over us. Right? So, he is seeing my activities. What he is seeing, it will look good to him or not. And think like that to how we respond in the crisis situations.
Gurudev said that this morning. I was just upstairs like an hour ago.
He said what?
He said, of course, yeah, he's like, actually, I don't know Krishna. And then he points across the room and there's that big picture of Prabhu Maharaj on his face, but I know Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj is always looking at me to see what I'm doing, what I'm doing.
But I think in the final analysis, where does it come from? Where does that tolerance come from? Everything comes from service to Guru and Vaishnava. So the more dedicated we are to that service, then the more of those qualities will come to us.
Also, Gurudev said in the Russia last year that.
Where?
In Russia.
Russia?
Gurudev said that we chant our rounds every day, all years ago.
Any other topics or questions on the to be addressed on the floor? Genevieve, you look very sad. Are you very sad? Oh, okay. Megaphone.
What determines or what is helpful regarding spiritual retention? Like whatever spiritual inspiration or impressions we get that help us or inspire us or make us strive for higher ideals.
The submission to higher Vaishnava. Someone asked Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he was having difficulty giving up intoxication. I think smoking marijuana. And he was asking Srila Sridhar Maharaj what to do. Srila Sridhar Maharaj's answer was to submit yourself to a higher Vaishnava. You have to find someone who you respect enough that When they say don't do something, then you won't do it. When they tell you to rise early in the morning and attend Mangal Arati or something, then you'll get up and attend Mangal Arati. In spite, you're sleepy, but in spite of that, because of your respect for this person, then you'll get up anyway and do what he wants you to do. So, that's the answer. Practically, we're not in the situation where we're so close to Srila Gurudev that we can expect that he will be the one to tell us to get up in the morning for Mangal Arati. But we know that that's his instruction. We know that that's what he wants. So what he wants, we have to respect that. And if we respect that, then we'll make some substantial progress. And the things which are undesirable, then they will go away from us. And also, anyways, other senior devotees or someone that will... Generally, we shall try to see everyone as in a higher position than myself. But at least, if not everyone, at least someone. is there someone, that I admire his qualities as a devotee and his behaviors and so forth. And put ourselves to some degree and under his guidance and direction. Or at least follow his example or something like that. That would be very helpful for us. Anything, any other questions? What is most productive is that we somehow develop some intense desire for a better position. Recognize my position, what I am at present, is just not good enough. I need to improve somehow or other. And if I don't improve, I cannot be happy. Even though I may seemingly have all the accoutrements for being happy, all the accoutrements for being happy, all of the paraphernalia for being happy and so forth. But the real satisfaction also, service is everything, and real satisfaction comes through service. And the highest satisfaction comes when the service is of the greatest intensity. And what is also very important is when there's the most urgent necessity for service, then even our intensity may not be so great. But by the grace of the Lord, due to the higher necessity, if we can serve even in the least fashion, then we will be greatly benefited. But how do we get that position? Is by always serving the Vaishnavas. Because we may not know when that urgent, when that great necessity for the Vaishnava to receive service, we may not know when that comes, when it happens, when it is. We may not see it ourselves. But if we're always serving, then it may happen more or less by coincidence that the Vaishnava is feeling some urgent need for service, and we are there we just happen to be there supplying. It's like there's a saying about success. When preparation and opportunity meet, then success is the outcome. So service is our preparation. If we are always serving to our best capacity, then that's our preparation. The opportunity is that a Vaishnava needs our service, and we're there to offer it. And because we've had some practice, we are prepared to give it properly, offer that service. Srila Govinda Maharaj, you know, he has arranged prasadam distribution in Vrindavan. So one outlook of that is that he is prepared to distribute plates of prasadam to thousands and thousands of ordinary people in the hope that one real sadhu will be benefited by that prasadam distribution. If one sadhu, and he's thinking about his own Gurudev, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, if one sadhu of the stature of Srila Sridhar Maharaj is in need of prasadam, and Govinda Maharaj is responsible for distributing that prasadam, and he takes that, the sadhu takes that, then it will be very, very good. Govinda Maharaj is thinking it will be very good for him. So, in the same way, we should be prepared to serve unlimited numbers of Vaishnavas. We to tell who is higher, who is lower, we will have difficulty making that judgment. We serve everyone with the idea of serving our guru, serving Mahaprabhu, etc. These devotees are his representatives. Then we may, by chance, get to serve a high Vaishnava and be very benefited by that. So much benefit we may get from that. And all these things, offering respect to others, these things. We have some, you know, general vague idea who we're dealing with, but it's really not very refined. And so we have to kind of be cautious in our idea, not to make offense to people, not to make offense to devotees. Maybe seemingly on our level, my God brother, my God sister or something. But not good to make offense to anyone. So always some caution. Any other thing? Last chance. Gives that example?
Bharati Maharaj.
Who?
Bharati Maharaj from Russia.
Oh, Bharati Maharaj. Uh-huh. Oh, good. So, I'm in good company.